Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bemich and Finley, 106.7, the fan.
I'm about to say.
Don't want to waste any time. I want to get right to the BetQL guest line and talk with our next guest, Mr. Denard Wilson.
D-Dub.
A DeMatha Stag, a University of Maryland Terrapin, and right now a assistant coach for the Philadelphia Eagles in the Super Bowl. Denard, what's up, man? Thank you very much for making some time. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How y'all doing today, man?
We're good, brother. How you feeling?
Yeah. Man, I'm outstanding. I'm outstanding out here in this good weather, man, getting ready for this game.
Yeah, I mean, we're out here in Arizona, too. It is pleasant out here. There's so many things I want to ask you about, and I love when people from the DMV really make it to the highest level. Like, I enjoyed watching Caleb Williams win the Heisman, right? For you, right. You're a DeMatha guy, you're a Terp, you're coaching in the Super Bowl. Have you taken a moment to think about all of that?
No, it's surreal. You know, when you start this journey, even as a player and then as a coach, man, you always wants to get to the pinnacle, and that's the Super Bowl. And just to be in this moment, it's surreal. Life comes at you fast when you get here, and you know, you prepare your whole life for it, and you're just ready to go about it and do your best and try to get a victory.
Then our coaching and playing in Philadelphia is a different thing. I think a lot of people don't understand how much pressure comes, because those fans that people think are crazy, they're actually smart and they're passionate. How do you feel now being about to go in the Super Bowl and wanting to make sure you impress those guys out there that cheer for y'all every day?
Well, I mean, you love the Philly fans. Like you say, B-Mitch, they are real passionate. They have a thorough understanding of just football and ins and outs. You know, the highs and lows of what goes into it from a daily basis, from a play-to-play basis. It's been nothing but the utmost respect for these people. They just want teams that come out there and play hard, play physical, play smart situational football. And if you do that, the fans will love you.
We're talking with Denard Wilson, Eagles defensive backs coach, defensive passing game coordinator. Denard, I can't help but notice, looking at the Eagles, like looking at the coaching staff you're a part of, and it starts with Nick Sirianni, the head coach, but both coordinators, your special teams coordinator, this looks like a younger staff than most when you look around the league. Is that something you notice and you feel when you guys are in your meetings and preparing for the whole season, let alone the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I mean, you see it every day, and I think it was done, you know, it was done on purpose from an organizational standpoint, from Mr. Lurie to Howie Roseman to Nick Sirianni. He wanted a coaching staff that had young, vibrant guys with big ideas that's been around, you know, a few years. But when guys get other opportunities, you know, from the staff, they have the ability to move guys up and keep the same chemistry. So I think it was done strategically. You know, it's a fun environment to be in. You know, everybody's young, got the young kids. So, you know, we have a good time. And then, you know, we put the work in together. So it's a fun environment.
But getting ready for this game, though, you're playing against a coach that did a lot of stuff in Philadelphia, Andy Reid. But that offense, they are a little different. As a defensive back coach, how do you get your guys ready to go against an offense like that?
And Mahomes.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it goes back to this, guys. It goes back to just technique fundamentals. But the biggest thing is putting your eyes where they're supposed to be, right? Because Andy Reid, he's been doing this for a long time. He's going to have something that you haven't practiced, that you haven't seen, but it goes back to the basic fundamentals of football. All right, don't get caught up in the hoopla at the moment. do the little things correct. And if you do that and you have rules, all right, within your defense, whatever they give you that's new, you can live through the play. So, you know, my biggest thing, especially for my players, is do what we do well, right? We play as one, all right? We communicate extremely well. We surround formations by just the way we communicate and being ahead of all shifts and motions. And let's line up and play. And then at the end of the day, when that ball is snapped, be physical once the ball's in the air or once they run it. We got to go hunt. And that's what I've been preaching all week, keeping the main thing, and just got to give our best shot.
So when you – talking with Eagles defensive backs coach and defensive pass game coordinator Denard Wilson here, when you prepare for a team like Kansas City and Mahomes specifically, obviously – Patrick's ability to extend plays is a huge part of what makes him so dangerous. But right now, you know, he's dealing with the ankle. And that ankle's not 100%, regardless of what gets said.
They got good medicine, man.
I'm sure. But how do you prepare your guys for this week? Do you still have to prepare like it's Pat at 100%, or do you think of different ways?
All right, this is the Super Bowl. He's going to be at his best. So I'm preparing the same way, and just like y'all touched on it, him extending plays is, he does a phenomenal job of that, but it's also about, you have to finish every play, and especially from the back end, you have to finish the plays through the receiver. You know, when you look at him and you look at the chemistry he has with Kelce, once he starts to move, you know, you could be in perfect coverage, but once he moves and your eyes go somewhere else where they're not supposed to be, that's when they start making a whole bunch of explosive plays. So for me, it's just telling them guys, man, they have to finish through the receiver. They have to finish every play like he's extending it. And obviously, you got to work plastering and coverage and all those things. But he's going to make plays, man. He's one of the best in the business. It's going to happen. It's just, how can we just keep our composure and then on the next play settle down and go out there and try to make a play for our team? But he's going to do what he does best. I mean, he's a hell of a quarterback, and everybody knows it.
Yeah, absolutely.
You get to this point, you have to have great leadership. And I know Mr. Lurie, I played under Jeff, and Jeff is one of the, I think, best owners in the league. But then you go with the head coach, Sirianni. Mm-hmm. First came on the scene, many people thought he was aloof with the way he had his press conference. But that dude, I keep telling people, everybody buys what he sells. What right. is it about him that makes him the coach that's in this moment so quickly?
Well, he's consistent. He's been consistent from day one. He preaches core values. One of the biggest core values he preaches is a connection, right? So we already talked about the coaching staff and the connection, but it's the connection within the players, the connection with the players and coaches, the connection with the equipment managers and everybody else in the building. So when you're connecting, you're all on the same level. It's not about I, it's about we. And our guys, our guys have success when other people have success. Like, I have one of the best selfless individuals in my room, Darius Slay. Slay doesn't care about the accolades that he receives. He wants to get the young guys to be better, to be on the level in which he plays. So when you see that throughout the whole building, you see it throughout the whole team, it becomes infectious, and guys believe in it.
You talked about Darius Slay. I mean, I think you can make a pretty easy argument that y'all have the best secondary in the NFL.
Bradbury.
Slay, Bradbury, Gardner Johnson on the the back line there. What do you make of your guys, and how much do you enjoy coaching this bunch?
This is a crazy bunch, man. We have a lot of fun. but all, you know, all of them.
DB's a crazy coach. You know that.
Yeah. You got to be able to, you know, you got to be the line tamer. But, you know, all these guys, they want to be the best at what they do. Right, and it's my job, like, you know, I always tell Howie this. If you give me a player, it's my job to get that player to be the best at the best of his ability. What he can maximize his talent at is my job to get it out. And all these guys, man, every day, you should see them in a meeting room. You know, any information you give them, they grasp it. You know, they're real passionate about it. They'll go out there and execute it. Like, if I give a tip or something going into a game, they're going to play it. And the thing I really love about them, they don't do a lot of guessing. They anticipate the plays. If they know it, they go get it. And they have fun doing it with each other. You know, it's all about the group mentality. You know, I always preach it to them, being a pack of wolves, we all go together. And it's not about just one person. So it's just probably been the funnest group I've ever coached.
That's great. You know what's funny is I've been covering NFL locker rooms for a while now, and I my contention is NFL defensive backs are the most irrationally confident men on the planet. And exactly. You almost have to be because you're – I mean, I think you can make the argument that playing DB on the outside in the NFL is the hardest job there is in the sport, if not maybe left tackle. But you're right. You're not allowed to touch anything. They want to flag you if you sneeze. I mean, how hard is it to be a defensive back in the NFL?
Oh, it is. I mean, you talk about their confidence. They got to live on the edge. Yes. That's why, you know, when you see their personalities, they have huge personalities because, I mean, every day you're getting attacked. And then you know how it is. When you play in a secondary, no matter how the play is, at the end of the day, you see we're the last line of defense. So if something happens in coverage, it's always our fault. If the ball breaks through the defense and we don't keep the cut, we don't surround the ball, it's always our fault. So they have to live in the edge. They got to have a short memory. You know, but, hey, as long as they do things together and they're always where they're supposed to be, good things happen. So,
absolutely.
You know, it is what it is.
I want to get to College Park in Hyattsville, but I wanted to read you a quote from Darius Slay. Mm-hmm. He said, "I'm not going to sit here and play around. Denard, man, he's been a great coach. He helped me elevate my game to a whole nother level. I know you got to focus this week, but your name is popping up for defensive coordinator jobs. I believe you've interviewed with Cleveland. How incredible is it for your journey? A young man, I think, from Upper Marlboro to Matha, Maryland, and now you're really starting to climb the NFL coaching ranks."
Yeah, I mean, it's you know, it's a great thing. When you start out and you do, you know how you do anything, you want to be the best at what you do. And you set goals and you set standards. And ever since I got in this profession, you know, I never wanted to skip steps. You look at my resume and look how I started to where I got now. And the reason I strategically did a lot of those things so I could have a wealth of knowledge so when the opportunity presents itself for me to move on to be a coordinator or potentially be a head coach, that I'm ready for it. And I've seen a lot of things. And when things come up, I don't make rash decisions. I stay true to what I believe. So, it's an honor to get your name out there. But at the end of the day, right now, it's all about focusing on winning the Super Bowl, giving our best shot because, you know, it's only 1-32, and it's hard to get here. I mean, I had a lot of years of losing. And, I mean, it's been a hell of a ride.
So how has that area – I mean, like, I got a lot of friends from the DMV. I've been here for over 30 years myself. And mm-hmm. I understand the mindset of people in the area. How has that upbringing helped you out in your career? Because I know you all, you believe in what you believe in, and mm-hmm. you ain't going to let nobody sway you away from it. So how has your upbringing helped you also in this coaching thing to begin to climb those ranks?
Well, I mean, it just starts with having the confidence in yourself. And, mm-hmm. you know, my journey started with, you know, I have a great support staff, great family. You know, my mom, who's no longer here, she was outstanding as a mother, caring. She always said that you achieve every goal that you want because you put the work in it. My dad's probably the guy that gave me my dad was my football coach growing up. So my father was probably the reason I probably got into football into coaching, but because of my dad. And some of the same things he talked about when I was a young boy, I still talk about to the players I have today. You know, because it all goes back to that. It's the connection between the players. You know, doing this for my wife and kids. You know, then my older brother who's always been there for me, and then you know my cousin Damus, who's actually the head coach at Morgan State University. Just a shout out to Morgan State.
Cool.
You know, those people have always been there, and you know, for me to get to this point, I'm not doing it for myself. I'm doing it for all those. You know, so that's the enjoyment about being. That's the enjoyment about being here in this environment.
All right. So you and I were at Maryland at the same time. I graduated in 2003. I'm guessing
we graduated in like 2000.
I graduated 4 years, sir.
No, he was skipping class and stuff.
I'm guessing Denard and I lived different college lives. I'm not suggesting that. But I have to ask this question of all Terps. Are you Bentley's or Cornerstone?
Oh, early on it was Bentley's. But later, my last couple of years, it was probably a Cornerstone move. The first couple of years, I was at Bentley's a lot. I shouldn't be saying that.
Is your jersey hanging up at Bentley's?
Hey, man. No, I'm not. Look, my jersey was not retired in Bentley's. So, no, it's not up there. I wasn't blessed to get retired in Bentley's.
Listen, next time you go into Bentley's, you might be wearing a Super Bowl ring.
Hell yeah. Oh,
they'll put your jersey up there.
That Super Bowl ring going to get you a lot of stuff, D.
People ask what I majored in Maryland. I say Bentley's and bong hits. But I'm guessing your major was much, much different. Let's go back even – let's go further down Route 1 to Hyattsville, mm-hmm. to Dematha. Mm-hmm. What's it like being part of a program like that that has become like this national brand?
Yeah, I mean, it's being at Dematha, what people don't understand, you create these relationships with your classmates and your teammates that last forever. And then environment is like coming up, you wanted to be a part of the best to put yourself in there to compete, to see where you were at. And that's when I went to that school, that's what it was all about. You know, Bill McGregor, who's the head coach again now, man, he was outstanding in the development of me as a person. You know, honestly, when I got hurt when I was with Washington, I came back and started coaching at Dematha because Bill asked me to come and help out. And that's when, like, the passion of me coaching really started when I was in that environment. Like I say, my friends today, you know, a lot of them probably actually listening in right now. And, you know, friend that we all have is Scott McBride and a couple guys. You know, they set the tone because we were all one family. We moved as one. We worked well together. We won a lot of football games. And I was addicted to winning. And then when I went to Maryland, I was addicted to winning. And then I had years, you know, in the NFL where it wasn't as fortunate because of multiple reasons. But it all starts back, you know, it all starts back at the math. It starts back at the upbringing, you know, and the way I go about everything in life is whenever adversity hits or anything, I always say to myself, go back home. And those environments, those things you went through coming up, that's what gets you through these moments here. So the math was vital for my development as a person. And then the people that I met there, that I'm still friends with, that I communicate with, they're some of the best people I've ever met in my life.
That's such a great answer. When I get in trouble, I just think to go home. Last one. How cool was it for you to be on that Dematha team that I think went 12-0 and won states and was the best in the D.C. area with Scott? And then so everybody knows, Scott is our mutual friend. He connected me with Denard for the interview. And then to get Scott back on your team with the Terps.
Oh, man, it was outstanding. First of all, that run in high school, I mean, when we lined up, man, we were smoking people. We were beating people by 40-something points. But we had talent everywhere. We had talent everywhere. You know, it was multiple guys went to D1. But the big thing about that team, we stayed hungry. I mean, we didn't care. We didn't care if we were beating you by 40. We was trying to put you under. And we had a lot of talented guys. The competition within the team was huge. You know, we had guys at receiver that were like top guys in the country. And you know, as a DB, you're battling against them every day. You're sharpening your tools. You know, you're getting your sword sharper against those guys. Man, it was outstanding. I still look at it. I have a team Cheerio box that sits downstairs in my basement that I look at all the time. And you know, man, what great moments. And you know, I would love to feel that feeling on this level.
Hey, Denard, man, thank you so much. I know how busy you are. Yeah, I really appreciate you making
time. Thank you
time
for the time, brother.
This week, man.
Appreciate you guys, man. I'm a big fan.
All right. Hey, man. Hey, fan of you, man. Good luck. And hope you all go out and get y'all one, man. Because I'm going to tell you, I spent those 3 years in Philly, and I know exactly how passionate that fan base is, bro. So,
yeah. Denard Wilson,
good luck to you.
Eagles DB coach. Right, thanks very much, man. Good luck.
Right, I appreciate you guys.
That is Denard Wilson. When we return here on B. Mitch and Finley.
That's a coach's son right there. You can listen to him the way he talks.
How easy is it to root for that guy?
Oh, man, definitely. Big time.
How, just speaking with him, that dude's at least going to be a D coordinator, if not keep calling.
He's going to get a head coaching job.
I mean, it sure sounds like
the way he
like
sounds, it. Because, like, the thing about what I was just listening to, I hear so much about interviewing. You can't tell me that dude won't kill an interview.
Right. You want somebody to nail an interview?
Exactly.
There's your guy.
There you go.
There's your guy. We'll be right back.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. This year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Download FanDuel now and use promo code Brian so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to the point spreads to who will score a touchdown. And listen, we just finished talking to Denard Wilson, so what I'm going to say is the guys I was thinking going to score a touchdown, I'm going to probably go against them a little bit. I believe that defensive backfield, Philadelphia, is going to be doing some things, so maybe, just maybe, Pat Mahomes won't throw as many touchdowns or yards as you would think. All on the top-rated sportsbook app that's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today with promo code Brian to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. Make every moment more with FanDuel, official sportsbook partner of the NFL. FanDuel Sportsbook, the official partner of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old or present in Virginia. First online real money wager only. $10 deposit required. Refund issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.